Let's pray. Father, to say that you are good seems so inadequate. But you are good. We're limited to our vocabulary to try to describe the one who is infinite, whose love is infinite and unimaginable to us. While we were sinners, while we hated you, thought only of ourselves, some of us had the worst kind of hatred. We didn't even give you a second thought. Not even caring enough to be angry. And you sent your son to die for us. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and blessing. And so, Father, we thank you, we praise you, because you are good, because you are worthy of our praise. As inadequate as it is, and yet you've opened our eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Christ, to know you, to know this God that created all things with ease, simply saying, "Let there be light," and it was so. "Let the earth bring forth life," and it was so. Father, we thank you for making yourself known to us so that we have the privilege of knowing you, and even so much more, we have the right to be called the children of God. Father, you're so good to us. Just pray that you would give help tonight as we look at your word. Help us to see Christ. Help us to worship and adore. For Christ's sake, amen. So I wasn't expecting to preach tonight, but Jimmy and I traded places, and it actually worked out good for both of us. But I was just thinking and praying about what to talk about, and just knowing that we have quite a few new believers in the church now, and just thinking of something that hopefully may be a help to them. And not only them, it helped to anyone that knows the Lord. Who are you? Who are you in Christ? What are you in Christ? There's not one answer. There are many answers. But one of the things that came to mind was in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creature, new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." I've heard this preached a lot as though it has to do with what we do. And it's not. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are. But who we are has everything to do with what we do. But to think about it rightly is such a help, because if you think about it in regards to what I do, where's your focus? Yeah, it's on myself and what I'm doing, and oh, I failed again, and oh, I didn't measure up, and who has ever measured up? Only one. That's where our hope lies, in the one that measured up, the one righteous man, the one that was spotless, but who we are. And I was just thinking about it, and I just want to draw out a few things and look at a few things. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's where we exist now. In Him, we live and move and have our being, in God, right? But the whole world exists in God, in the sense that Paul was using it when he said that. But the whole world is not in Christ. The whole world is not in the Son. Only those who have died with Him and been raised with Him. Only those that Christ gave His life for. And we exist in a new plane now. We exist in a new location now. We used to exist in the natural, in Adam, in this world, in the flesh. So many descriptions that the Bible describes of the place that we existed before coming to faith in Christ. But now we're in Christ. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the realm in which we exist now. Another way that Paul argues it is in grace. We're under the reign, the rule of grace. But that's the qualifier here to new creation. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. That's what we are. What was the old? The old what? Right? It says if anyone is in Christ, it's literally new creation. He is a new creature. He's a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, look, see. New things have come. What are the old things? Old things passed away. It's literally the old. They put things in, it reads easier. It's literally the old. If you're in Christ, new creation. The old is gone. What's the old? It's old, it's the original, it's ancient, it's from the beginning, it's what used to be. So what is the old creation? Because that's what its contrast. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation, which means the old creation is gone. It's done away. What's the old? In 4:16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. What is this outer man? Well, he goes on in chapter 5, verse 1 to say, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Was he talking about like a house that we live in? Well, somewhat. Look at verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. So we have the outer man, which is our earthly tent, which is the body. And then in 5:16, he says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to what? According to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. We could go to other places. We could go to Romans 5, where Paul says a lot of the same things. Therefore, in 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men. And he goes on to talk about the free gift isn't like the transgression. He's talking about Adam, the old creation, all those who were born in Adam, the first creation, the old creation, the natural creation, born under the curse that was upon all creation. And in 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. The old things that have passed away is who we were without Christ, the natural man, Adam. We're not that person anymore. If we're in Christ, we're new, a new creation. What is the new creation? Well, we already looked at it has to do with those that are in Christ, a new identity. Who are we first and foremost? Even before we're male and female, what is our greatest identity? We're Christians. We're Christians. Followers of Christ. We live in a new realm. We exist in a new place. If anyone is in Christ, where are we? Seated in the heavenly places. And I don't know how long ago it was. I don't know how many remember. You know, the heavenly places are not up there. We're in it right now, right where you are. You're in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not part of this creation. But we've been made a new creation, and we've entered into that realm already. We're in the kingdom of God already, even though we're waiting for what? The kingdom of God to come in fullness. And yet we're already members of that kingdom. Chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, he's talking about how he, the apostles, those that work with the apostles, that they are ministers of a new covenant, not the old, not the ministry of condemnation, but the ministry of righteousness, not of the letter that kills, but of the new covenant, ministers of the new covenant, of the Spirit that gives life, not of ministers of a glory that fades, but of a glory that remains. Talks about how Moses, when Moses would go and come out from the presence of God, his face would glow. And so he would put a veil over his face, not so that people wouldn't see that his face was glowing, but that they wouldn't see that it would fade and that the glory would fade off of his face. And he talks about how when one turns to the Lord, there's life, there's liberty. Verse 18, 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We're beholding what formerly was veiled to us. New creation, we're those that are no longer blind, but now we see. That's one of my favorite testimonies in all of Scripture. This I know, I once was blind, but now I see. That's every Christian. We were blind, but But we see now, what do we see? We see God, not physically, not with our physical eyes, but we know Him. And we know Him through His Son. And we long for the day when we will actually see Him. He goes on to talk about the ministry that they have, and they don't peddle the gospel. But look at 4:3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There's the old man. He doesn't see the glory of Christ. That's what's gone. That's what is no longer. That's the old thing that has gone. And again, it's not thing. It's the old creation that has gone. Who we were. He goes in verse 6. He says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Again, Paul talking about himself, the apostles. We have this gift. What gift? The knowledge of the glory of God in Christ, in the face of Christ. That's the treasure that he had. And it's the treasure that everyone has that are trusting in Christ, believing Him, that our eyes have been open. Again, thinking about the old covenant, which he talked about in chapter 3, the veil. Where's the veil at in the old covenant, in the Old Testament? Well, it's what kept the Israel from seeing the glory of God that existed inside the Holy of Holies. There was the veil that only the high priest could go in only one time a year. And inside that is where the glory of God was manifest, where God dwelt among His people on earth in one little cube in the Middle East. And the veil kept people from seeing the glory of God. Until what? Until the veil was removed. How was the veil removed? Christ died, bearing the sin of His people, paying the penalty for the sin of His people, so that there was no more need of the veil. Not for His people. And now God doesn't dwell in that building. He dwells in this building, the temple made without hands. He dwells where? Same place He always has, in the midst of His people. But we see that now in the face of Christ, who was the temple. We're the temple by proxy. We're the temple because we are His body. And Jesus is the one that said, "Destroy this temple," referring to His body, "and in 3 days I will raise it up." And that's how we become the temple, because where are we? In Christ. I love the paradoxes, the facets, the multifacets of the gospel, the multifacets of God, of Christ, of who we are. There's no one description. How do we get to heaven? How do we get into the kingdom? Are you born or adopted? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. One description can't work. We have to be born of the Spirit. We have to be born from above. Y'all know I talk about it all the time. It's not born again. It's born from above. Born of God. That's what he's talking about. And that must happen for us to see the kingdom. But we have been adopted as sons because of what? Because we were born in Adam. We were born with a different father, and we have a new father now. And therefore, we're adopted. I knew I was going to ramble and say a bunch of things tonight because this wasn't a carefully thought out or prepared message. But all of these things It's who we are. It is the new creation. God has given us light, shines light into, out of the darkness, and shines light in our hearts so that now we know God, the one who is light and life. What is this new creation? Well, it's one that has passed out of death and into life. Paul goes through a list of things in chapter 4, describing all the afflictions and the things that they suffer for the Corinthians, for those that they're ministering to. And he sums it up by saying, death works in us, but life in you. All that he did, the death that worked in him, referring to the afflicted in every way, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, constantly being delivered over to death, constantly in danger of death. But the death that works in them is life in you, because they're taking this treasure that they have in earthen vessels, and they're going and they're proclaiming Christ to those in darkness. And those pass out of death into life. That's the new creation. Life, alive to God, no longer dead to God, but alive to God. No longer ignorant of God, but now we know God. That's the new creation. The old is the one that didn't know God, the one that was blind, that had been blinded by the God of this world. The one that didn't see God, didn't see Christ, didn't know Him. The one that was merely fleshly. But in Christ, he's a new creature, and the old passed away, passing away. Behold, new things have come. That's who we are. This inner man now is what? Being renewed day by day, living, growing. What's the difference between the two? And this gets to what we do. Look at 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live, who's that? Who are the ones that live? Those that are not dead anymore, the one that life has been worked into them. So that they who live might no longer what? Live for themselves. New creation does not live for self. Oh, we can be selfish from time to time, but we don't live for self. Every single Christian lives for God. Different degrees, but it's impossible for a Christian to not live for God, to live for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. That's who this new creature is. We no longer live for ourselves. Now, whether you know when the Lord saved you or not, unless you were saved as a very small child, unless you were saved as a little child, you know there was a time you lived for yourself and a time when you stopped living for yourself because you started living for Christ. Why? Because the old creation has passed away and now there's a new creation. The old, the outer man, no longer is in charge anymore. Oh, the flesh still wages war against the spirit. But Romans 8, beginning in verse 5, says this: "For those who are after the flesh, according to the flesh, set their minds on, have a mindset on things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, after the Spirit, have their mind set on, have a mindset of the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh," where are the Christians? Yeah, Romans, in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians, in Christ. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because the one who comes to Him must believe that He is, and He's the rewarder of those who seek Him. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. This is people that are the natural man in Adam. It's the old that has passed away for everyone that's in Christ. "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." What is the condition that makes a person in the Spirit? It's the indwelling Spirit of God. It's God in us. It's God in His temple. God in His people, dwelling in their midst. That's what makes us children of God. That's what makes us in the Spirit. We're in Christ because of this. "But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." Verse 10, "If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is life, alive because of righteousness." So that we're no longer dead. We're no longer that old creation. We're no longer in Adam. We are now in Christ, made alive. The old has gone. New things have come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old passed away. Behold, new things have come. I just thought 1 John tells us something about what this looks like. In 1 John 3:1 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be." So what we are right now isn't what we're going to be one day. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone has this hope on Him does what? Purifies himself just as he is pure. No longer living for self, but now living for the one who died for us. Purifying ourselves as we are transformed from one degree of glory into another. As we grow, as we mature, as we become more like Him. I'm just talking to my brother earlier. Isn't it amazing how this is for the older Christians. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more you realize how far away you are from what you want to be. You don't feel better, closer. You don't feel that. You see it. You can see it in your life. But you can also see It's like the closer you get to him, it's almost like the farther away he seems. I've got so much more to go. But again, we serve an infinite God. And we'll never attain, we'll never understand the fullness of him, even though in him we live and move and have our being. The new creation purifies himself just as he is pure. Verse 10, it says, by this the children of God and the children of devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor, or namely, the one who does not love his brother. Paul, or rather John, equates love with righteousness. The one who loves is the one that does righteousness. The one who loves is the one that what? This is his commandment, verse 23, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. In 5:1, he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There's the new creation. And whoever loves the Father loves the child, or loves the one born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God. This is what it looks like to love God. We keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Obedience is not a burden. Obedience can be challenging and it can be difficult. But what does it bring to you when you obey? Weight? No, it's weight lifted. Condemnation? No, justification. Heaviness? Pressure? No, peace, joy, gladness, thanksgiving. It's not a burden. His commandments are not burdensome. The law was a burden. But the one in Christ, the one that loves God, we know it because we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I just wanted to encourage us tonight. One little aspect of who are we? We're a new creation. Something new. Along par with when God said, let there be light. And there it was. When he created the world and all that was in it from nothing. And there it was. Well, that's what he's done for us that are in Christ. The problem is we don't see it. Like, you know, I mean, if you could have been there at the beginning when the Lord created, you would have like, boom, you know, there it is, larger than life. But we can see it. Because if it wasn't for Christ, where would you be right now? Would not be here. I would not choose to spend my Tuesday night coming to sing with God's people, coming to fellowship with God's people, because I want to be there. Coming to pray, coming to read the Word, listen to the Word proclaimed, would not be here. And that's how we see this new creation and change lives. The new creation has come. The old passed away. It's no longer. It's gone. That's who we are. That's who we are in Christ. We're a new creation. Amen. Praise the Lord. What's the old hymn? Without Him, I would be nothing. Who knows it, Jim? Remember? Without Him? Yeah, I can only remember bits and pieces. Without Him, God have mercy. And praise the Lord that He has had mercy and that He has sent His Son to die for us, to die in our place, to bear our sin, so that when we die, we pass into life. We start living more than we are now, but it's still not the end. There's more to come. And that's what we look forward to. Fullness of salvation when the Lord returns and makes all things new, raises us immortal. This mortal will put on immortality. God help us to think more about that. Well, that's what I've got for us this evening. Well, let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, we just thank You for Christ. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us Your Spirit, making us partakers of the divine nature. Lord, help us understand that. It seems, I mean, I can understand it, but it just seems so far above comprehension. That we, flesh and blood, have become partakers of the divine nature, that You, the God who created us, dwells in us. And Lord, teach us to pray, because whatever we ask in faith, we receive. You're there ready to answer, delighting to answer, because we're Your children. And You delight in giving good things to Your children. Just like we who are evil, we know how to give good things to our children. How much more do You give good things to those who ask? Give the Spirit to those who ask. Lord, help us to search out more of just who we are. A royal priesthood, what does that mean? We're priests of the Most High God. We offer sacrifice of praise. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We're Your people of Your possession. So many other things You tell us we are. Lord, help us to believe You, not to believe our feelings. Lord, not to believe the slanderer who will accuse us and tell us we're something that we're not. Lord, help us, teach us to believe You, to take You at Your word, and help us to do the work of searching Your word to find it out, searching Your word to find Christ, to be conformed even more into His likeness. Father, just thank You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness. Bless time we get to spend together for a few minutes. Lord, pray that we would build one another up and encourage one another, love one another as You've loved us. In Christ's name, amen.